Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. This is Memorial Day weekend. It's a time of remembering. I've been struggling with this message for some time, and with God's help, and I say that very humbly, we will begin to present it. There was a time in biblical times when God's word had commanded the end of the captivity of the Jews in Babylon, 70 years, and an order was given by a heathen king to go back and to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. Now, less than 10% of those of the number that were taken into captivity, and trust me, there were, where they went, they proliferated. There were less than 50,000 that returned. There was a remnant. And I'm grateful to one of the participants at the King's House, of the God School. I got Dr. Scott on my mind, who sent me a definition of the word remnant, and it went something like, what remains after a catastrophe? Well, these people went back, and you'll read the stories, their stories in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And they began to rebuild Jerusalem and lay the foundations for the rebuilding of the temple. And the work, for all intent and purposes, stopped for 15 years. And God raised up prophets, including Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. You know, the order of the books in the Bible just don't really present a very good history, because, you know, you encounter Ezra and Nehemiah after 2 Chronicles, and you have to go through multiplied books to get to Haggai. But nonetheless, they're all part of that story, and God's work, or the work of God's people, stopped in the rebuilding of the temple into which Jesus Christ would walk for 15 years. And God raised up a prophet by the name of Haggai. And Haggai opens and it says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We look down to the ninth verse of this book, and it says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste. And ye run every man to his own house. This ministry, the God School, is a ministry over the internet. It is designed to bring the word of the Lord to God's people and to God's house. It is not a brick and mortar entity. In the New Testament, the people who faith, it is said of them, they are the house of God. Because the gospel says, the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, says that for faith, God puts us in Christ, and he puts Christ in us, and we become the house of God. And the Hebrews letter tells us that we remain the house of God if we continue the same way we started. Now, the people who returned to Jerusalem after the captivity returned with joy and immediately began to build the house of God. But something happened. And the work stopped. For 15 years. This ministry started when I had no other place, no place to go to hear and continue the hearing of the word of the Lord without corruption, which for 25 years I had had the great joy and pleasure and grace of God to hear a gift of God to his church preach the word of God. Today is a day of remembrance. It's a weekend of remembrance. And I remember the trepidation with which I approached this effort. But I also remember the joy. Oh, the joy. When people responded. And not only voiced and I believe sincerely, their thankfulness for hearing the word preached and their participation in the effort. And one in the congregation said, "This can't stay here, it has to go out," and motivated and help build a website wherein the God School, wherein became what today we call the God School on the internet. And we've been seven and a half years at this effort. And there, I think there is two or three left that started with me. And there have been dozens who have come and gone, who have decided they had other things to do than to continue in this effort with me. And, you know, I guess it was just about a year ago that framework, that software that carried the God School had become unavailable, and we had to start all over again. And I put it in the hands of some who were not part of this effort, but had the knowledge of building websites and bringing software together where we could continue to present the message. And through searching for a word. Through my complacency, I thought things were in place. And a short time back, I came to discover that, in fact, they're not in place. And that the source, that this message goes out over the internet, which is available to the whole world, was partially in a state of ruin. As I considered this, it brought me some pain and some anguish. And therefore, I've determined that a new effort, a rejuvenated effort of making available a source of God's Word wherein is life and light and freedom. That it may continue to be voiced to those whom God has called, to those whom God has chosen, who are not hearing the word of the Lord, but some half-ass, humanistic, sometimes almost demonic message, which is put forward as the word of God, and it's not even close. And I'm talking today not only to those that started with me in the building of this ministry, but to those who, throughout these years, have come to join in this effort, who understand that by the word, they came from death to life, and from darkness to light, and from bondage to freedom, to understand with me there are still houses of God out there to whom God would have his word that they may come as we have come to life and to the light and to freedom through the grace of God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in my complacency, And in the complacency of this congregation, God had some pretty strong things to say to that congregation back there who let his work lay fallow for 15 years. But he still says in the 13th verse, "I am with you, saith the Lord." In the 4th verse of the 2nd chapter, God speaking through Haggai, "Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you." Saith the Lord of hosts, "I am with you." This word "strong" used in this verse means to be firm, to be confident. Confidence being that part of faith wherein we act based upon belief in what God has said, and we continue in confidence. The Hebrew word "work," being translated "work" here, means to do it. We go to the 18th verse of the 2nd chapter, and it says, now God in that first verse says a couple of times, "Consider your ways." Now he wants us to consider something else. Consider now from this day upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, considered it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea. And as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree has not brought forth. From this day I will bless you. Now God has been telling the people that part of the problems they've been running into is because they've forsaken to do the work of the Lord. But he says, consider now, from this day I will bless you. What day? It's the day we wake up and put God first. The 21st verse says, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth." Folks, there is a time coming I don't know what year, as I've shared with you before, I do know what time, but it says, I will shake the heavens and the earth. There's a shaking coming. God's going to shake everything, the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, and every one by the sword of his brother. God is going to shake. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But to those whom he has chosen and gifted faith by grace, unmerited favor, these will not be shaken. He raised up Zechariah, and in the third verse of the first chapter of Zechariah, it says, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. He finishes Haggai with the statement, I have chosen you. This will never be shaken. If we go to the book of Malachi in the third chapter, seventh verse, it says, even from the days your fathers are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? How do we return to God? And God's answer is, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? God's response is, in tithes and offerings. There be some in the God school who do participate in this ministry. Who don't tithe. Who don't bring offerings. And yet, God and I would have you all go and read the ninth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. It's a recounting by the Levites, the priests, the ones who had charge, if you will, over the Word of God and the testimony of time and time and time again, where the children of God came up short. And God, in His, well, let me read this to you. Verse of the ninth chapter says, "Yet many years did thou forbear them and testify against them by your spirit in your prophets. Yet they would not give ear, therefore thou gavest them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst utterly consume them. Thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and a merciful God, and that's why God says again, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? God says, in tithes and offerings. And yet again, God says in the 10th verse, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. God says to us, His creatures, I'll let you prove me. When they were in the desert, when they were in the wilderness, leaving Egypt, all they did was attempt to prove God, and God hated it. Now God says, here's a test. Prove me now herewith. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of the grounds, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. This, folks, is not a prosperity message, which some have corrupted the Word of God, whereby they say, you know, sow a seed of 100, I'll give you 1,000. Sow a seed of 1,000, I'll give you 100,000. This is a promise of God. This is an opportunity for men and women of God to reach up and grab hold of that promise as though it's more real than anything that they may see, feel, or encounter, because God spoke it. And act and do as the Lord commanded. throughout God's book. He is proclaiming his healing nature. The ultimate being found in that by his stripes we were healed. There be some that preach, if you didn't come out of that wheelchair, you must be some kind of second-class citizen. You must not have faith. God's word is forever settled in heaven. We are children of eternity. Our job is to do results are in God's hands, but the man or woman of faith who will grab hold of this promise has eternal life in them and will have eternal life with God forever. There be some that say, oh, here, now, prove God. God says, I'll let you prove me. And they motivate people to give so that people will get a blessing. No, we give to show God that through his Spirit, he has given us an understanding that all we have comes from him. And the tithes and offerings are recognition of that fact. I want you to join with me today. As I commit to the rebuilding of the website, it's going to take hardware, it's going to take software, it's going to take professional help, but the ultimate intent is where I no longer have to rely on anybody else to post these messages. A couple weeks ago, those that helped me do this particular work were out of town, and the people had to suffer for a whole week before getting a message posted. And the way in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah that the house of God was built was through the people's tithes and offerings. And the way the New Testament message began and continued to spread throughout the whole world was the response of the people that heard it, which was faith, by which the Spirit of God entered into them, and the Second Corinthians gives us that manifestation of what the life the eternal life that God puts in us, how it manifests outward, that those who have that life are givers. Paul's letter to the Philippians is occasioned by an offering from people that had not heard from him for 10 or 11 years. And his prayer is that he, that is the Lord, which had begun a good work in them, would complete it, make it complete in the day of Jesus Christ. If you have, as we said earlier, through this voice, been brought from death to life and darkness into light. Death to life, the Ephesian, second chapter of Ephesians. From darkness to light, first chapter of Colossians. From bondage into freedom, the book of Galatians. Then continue with me that we might build a stronger center from which the word of God is going out to the houses of God, that his houses be not laid. God says, I am with you, saith. Be strong, be firm, be confident in this knowledge. And do it. And let's do it today. I intend to start today. Will you start with me? That's the God School for today.